You're listening to Guildcast, where the only thing I have to be embarrassed about is my really girly voice. It's the microphone, I swear.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 69th episode of Guildcast for April 21st, 2007. I'm your host, Sean. Surprised to see an episode after only a week? Yeah, me too, actually, but with the introduction of hard mode to the game this week, I grabbed Cal Agram and we did a Skype show together where we basically went over the features of hard mode and just the whole update from April 19th. We also talk about our experiences with hard mode so far and some bug fixes that we anticipate very soon on some problems that we've noticed so far. Now, we all knew that hard mode was coming, and the launch date was actually announced a few days in advance. And I didn't really think a lot about it, especially about making a show about it, but it wasn't until I actually saw everything and experienced everything there is about hard mode that I knew that we had to just do a quick show about it, even just to get the news about it out to the people who may not read the updates from various websites. Now, this intro won't be very long at all, but I just wanted to say hi to the people who asked to be mentioned before I actually start the Skype recording. Now, these people include Clash Ramon, Justin Hadford, and Blue Liger Strife, and Liger's Knights of the Naraka Guild. So enjoy the show. Okay, so I'm here with Cal, and we decided that we would make a hard mode episode today, since hard mode just came out yesterday, actually. And there's so many different parts, so many different strengths and weaknesses of hard mode, which actually more strengths than weaknesses. And I figured that we would just go ahead and make a whole episode about it, and kind of an impromptu thing where I asked him this morning, you know, before work, if he'd be up for that, and he said sure. So he's been playing hard mode all day, basically, and I've been at work reading about hard mode and wishing I could play hard mode. So we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about what it's about and some more of the update from April 19th, kind of go over as much as we know from the notes on GuildWars.com and from GuildWiki. So let's start out by just kind of explaining a little bit about what hard mode is. Basically what it is for players who have completed a campaign, you know, if you've done one of the chapters completely, then you can play through it again in what's known as hard mode. And this is, hard mode is a more advanced AI, higher level creatures, better drops, better treasures, and also there's new titles that go along with this also. You can actually choose your mode now between normal and hard mode, you know, where you can actually go fight level 22 char, you know, in the middle of the Great Northern Wall mission, things like that, instead of whatever level they were before, like 10 or something. So some of the things that they've done, they've actually, we'll go through them one at a time here and start from the beginning. They actually changed normal mode. They kind of dumbed it down a little bit, back down to the way it used to be a few months ago. And let's talk a little bit about that. It says monsters in normal mode now respond more slowly to AoE damage.
Yes.
Like we were talking about before, you said that they don't quite, they wait till they're about 50% health and then they run away.
That's what they're doing in hard mode. That was what they used to do before this update. They now wait even longer till the health's even lower before running away.
Oh, okay. And they also do some things, like it says they're less likely to kite.
Yeah.
And they, once again, focus all their attacks on a single target. Like I said, this is basically going back a few months ago, where they, Guild Wars used to be like this. The AI used to be like this. And then they went ahead and changed it made it a little bit harder. Well, now I guess they decided they're going to go back to making it easier and, you know, for the normal mode, and then make it even more, even harder for the hard mode.
Yeah.
And to access hard mode, like I said, you have to beat the entire campaign. You have to, you don't have to do it mission and bonus or masters and everything. You just have to beat everything. And then once you do that, any level 20 character on that account will have access to hard mode. And there's just a little thing in your party menu. It just says normal mode, hard mode. And that's all you do. You just switch back and forth like that.
Someone was saying before that it's supposed to be account-wide. As long as one character's finished the campaign you want to play in for hard mode, and you're on a level 20 character, you're supposed to be able to do hard mode on any level 20 characters. Someone was saying, yep, it was broken, but I checked it out and it's not. It does work properly.
So, oh, okay.
I don't know where they got that from, but it does work fine, because my ranger can do Tyria and Nightfall hard mode, even though it hasn't finished anything apart from Canther.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't tried that yet. I know there have been a few bugs. I'm sure they're going to fix in the next couple of days.
I was victim of one earlier and I panicked.
Was that the vanquishing one?
Yeah. I was clearing, where was I? Zelon Reach. Got to the end, killed the last mob, and the game crashed. And I was like,
Yeah, I heard about that from a few people that, you know, you get to the very last one and it crashes. So I think I'm going to wait to start working on my vanquishing title.
It still counts. It still credits you with the XP and everything.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. You can actually, it just counts as a normal disconnect. If you restart the game within like 15 minutes, like the normal timer, you can reconnect into the zone.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Because that's what I did. I fired it back up and it all came on fine. But it's just annoying, especially if you don't know about it.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the Vanquisher title. Basically what it is there's a different title for Tyria, Cantha, and Alona. And what they do is you get this title when you clear out an explorable area. Like say you were going to start out in Tyria and you're going to clear out the whole old Ascalon area. That means killing every single creature in that area. Then you'll get, you'll actually get a point for that, right? And each on your map, it'll show you when you're in hard mode. It'll show you, like the areas that you've cleared will be in yellow, will be outlined in yellow, and the areas that you haven't cleared will be outlined in red, right?
Yeah, basically, it's got a little helmet symbol.
So if you clear every single area in all of Tyria, then you'll get the Tyrian Vanquisher title or Vanquisher of Tyria.
I think it's Vanquisher of. Wherever.
Vanquisher of. And then you'll actually get a legendary Vanquisher title if you do.
It's.
What's that?
It'll be Tyrian Vanquisher, Alonian Vanquisher, Canthan Vanquisher.
Oh, okay.
Because mine says Alonian Vanquisher. I don't have it.
So the. Yeah. Well, I hope not. It's only been. It hasn't even been 24 hours yet.
So?
The Legendary Vanquisher title is for if you do the entire campaign, right?
Legendary Vanquisher, yeah, once you clear a campaign, you get a point towards it. Once you've cleared all three, you get the title, the full title.
And you also get some hefty rewards for that. You get, it says players will receive gold equal to 3 times the number of creatures defeated and experience equal to 5 times the number of creatures defeated. Now, this is in addition to what you get for killing each one anyway.
Yeah. And it works out about 1,000 experience and 300 to 400 gold.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't massive, but that's on top of all your other drops. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to clear an area again, because I've only done them once, but I want to know if you get that each time you do it, or just the first time.
I'd imagine it's only the first time.
I would think so, but I don't know, because it would be nice if it was all of them, because then you could grab a bunch of people and you could all go and clear an area and keep getting that reward when you did it.
I'd imagine it's just the first time, though, because it says, the actual wording says, once an explorable area has been vanquished. So I imagine
that sounds like just once.
Yeah. And another thing to take note on this, it says in hard mode, if all party members of a group are dead and have 60% death penalty, then they'll be returned to the outpost instead of being resurrected.
I don't know, because I've not died yet.
Well, I imagine that's to stop the farming, I guess, the death leveling and stuff like that, which you can only do that in a certain few areas, but you won't be able to do that. Like, I know in Nightfall and Jahai, quite a while back, you could actually farm Lightbringer points.
Yeah.
And when the Skies of Chaos would regenerate.
Yeah.
I guess this would stop something like that. But they actually nerfed that anyway.
I think it's just to make it harder, because, like, the Vanquished title doesn't really mean anything if you could just resurrect and just go at them and kill one monster at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
You've actually got to try and survive long enough to earn the title.
You know, I think this whole thing is such a great idea because, I've only done one mission in this so far, is the Great Northern Wall, and there were a ton of people there. You know, it's like, it's just bringing back all these missions again. Everybody's doing all these missions again. It's like a whole new game, you know. Yeah. It's a pretty good idea.
Be interesting to see what it's like in a couple of months. That said, in a couple of months, Eye of the North will be out, so.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, as far as missions go in hard mode, they've actually increased some of the rewards, too. Like in Prophecies, if you do the mission in hard mode, you get 500 gold, 2,000 experience, and one skill point. You get that same amount when you do the bonus also in hard mode. So, and then in Factions and Nightfall, when you do the Masters, you get 500 gold and 3,000 experience and one skill point. And then we have the Guardian title, which is also, there's a different track for Tyria, Kanta, and Alona. These are the hard mode versions of the existing mission completion titles. Like, you know, if you do all of the missions in Tyria in hard mode and you complete them all, then you'll get the Guardian. I guess that's the same thing where it'd be Tyrian or Guardian of Tyria or something like that.
It is. It's Guardian of.
Yeah, Guardian of. Yeah. So that's yet another title for people to strive for.
Yeah.
So what all did you do today as far as playing with hard mode?
I've been through the Starter Island on Nightfall. I just started from the beginning and working through. Went through Chabek Village, which was easy, but then again, it's the, like, noob mission. So even with the higher level mobs, they're still only in ones and twos, so it's not that hard. Then I cleared Plains of Jerin, Cliffs of Dojok, Farinur, Zenlon Reach, which were all not particularly tough, but they took a little bit of time to do because you have to go around and kill everything for the Vanquisher title. And then I spent about maybe 3 or 4 hours trying to do Jokana Diggings because it's hard as nails. And they leveled up the mobs because they level them up, they do more damage, and it's so much higher than before. It's really quite annoying. I tried to do it with, I was running a boom prot to start with, because I thought that's generally good in a small party, 4-person party. You can, the boom prot can just spam skills all over the place and just prevent any damage coming in. But no, I died, so I thought, okay, I'll try with a healer. So I tried with a Word of Healing Monk. No, still died. So I ended up going through the mission in the end, after a bit of trying, with 2 monks, and Avatar of Balthazar, Dervish, which is Melanie, who's a requirement for the mission, and then myself, Urs and Ellie. But it took ages to get it sorted and actually get to the end. I got right through to the last trial before you get into the last room where the boss is at the end of the mission. And then I killed all the mobs, but the spirit who carries the stone had died halfway around and I hadn't noticed, and he'd respawned back at the beginning, and so as he was walking through again, the undead respawned and they killed my monks, and then I had no reses left, so I had to go through the whole thing and do it again. That was when I was still using an avatar of Dwayne, Dervish, though, and it couldn't deal enough damage, which was why I swapped to Balthazar. So, but yeah, I got there eventually, after much cursing.
Yeah, I didn't really get to play too much. Like I said, I did that Great Northern Wall mission, and you know, we noticed that it's kind of crazy fighting, you know, level 22 devourers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we actually, you know, made it through fairly easily, and you know, not really any big problems. And then at the end, when the char come after you, after the cutscene, we noticed that they ran a lot faster, and they caught up to us, and they pretty much wiped us out really quickly. So then we did it again, and we made it the second time. But it's just amazing, you know, like, they're supposed to have new elite skills now, or not new, but they have elite skills now.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, they probably have charge.
According to the guild wiki notes, they have, and they move faster than normal. All the mobs in hard mode move faster than normal, and they all have an increased skill, increased attack speed skill.
Yeah.
On them constantly, so they always attack faster and move faster. Presumably, they cast faster as well, but I don't know.
It's just amazing, though. You know, it's just a beginning mission, and yeah. It was just such a challenge. At the end, I would hate to see what the end missions are like.
Well, I went into Realm of Torment just before we started recording this again, and I was just looking what level the mobs were. All the Torment creatures are level 30, and the groups aren't any smaller. Well, they're a little bit smaller, but not massively. So it's going to be quite interesting to do that. I don't know what the missions will be like in hard mode in Torment. I would only presume they're going to be an absolute nightmare, because they weren't easy the first time round.
Yeah.
Especially the last but one mission in Nightfall, where you have the two bosses at the end. Because they're both normally level 30 anyway.
Oh, yeah. Wonder what they're going to be now.
Yeah. It'd also be interesting to do Dragon's Lair for the bonus on that, because Glint is normally level 30, so she's going to be higher.
Yeah, I don't... How much higher can they go, you know? Level 40, level 50?
I don't know. Too high.
Yeah. Well, at least the loot is supposed to be a lot better.
I've only been playing with Henchies, so I haven't really noticed, because I'm still losing a fair amount of my drops to Henchies. But I have had a couple of the new drops, which are the skill books. I've had one elite skill book, elite paragon, and a normal assassin book, which allow you to, on the character you use it on, allow you to learn a skill that you've already unlocked for your account, which has great uses. I want a mesmer one.
The skill tomes.
Yeah.
Now let's talk a little bit about those, because there's regular ones, and then there's elite ones.
Yes.
And the regular ones, you can learn a skill that you already have unlocked on your account,
yeah.
And you can learn it for a different character.
Yes.
And the elite basically works the same way, but elites are only dropped by bosses.
Yes.
And you can get them in chests.
Yeah, because yeah. I got mine out of a chest. So.
And that lets you learn an elite skill that you already have unlocked on your account.
Yes. The actual tome says, it's Elite Paragon tome, it says double click to learn any Elite Paragon skill that's already unlocked on your account while in a town or outpost. And the Assassin tome says pretty much the same, except it says any non-Elite Assassin skill.
Yeah, and speaking of chests, there's a new way to open chests also.
Yes.
With the lockpicks. I think these are really cool.
They are. I haven't tried them in normal mode. You're supposed to have the chance of retaining them in hard mode is, explain what they offer. They're basically keys that you can use on any chest. You have to use them to open hard mode chests, because there are no specific area keys, whereas there are at the moment.
They're called locked chests.
Yeah. So you have to use lockpicks. You have a chance of retaining a lockpick dependent on your level, I think. I think it's your level divided by 2, which for a level 20 character is 10. So you got 10% plus 3% per rank of your treasure hunter title,
plus 2% per rank of the lucky title. So all those people who spent a fortune leveling up their lucky title have actually got something back for it now.
Yeah.
Probably never going to make the 40 million they spent on tickets, but still. Or the 2 days they sat AFK.
Yeah. So, like you said, if you're level 20, you divide that by 2, you get 10. And then you 3 times your treasure hunter rank, say you're level 2, so that's 6. And then 2 times your lucky rank.
Yeah.
So let's say you're level 3 in that, so that's another 6. So then you got 22%. So that'll give you 22%, which I think like a normal, what's the maximum treasure hunter rank? Is it 5?
I think it's 7 or 8.
Let me just check. So that'll get your percentage up there quite a bit.
Yeah. 7.
7, yeah.
And I think lucky's about the same. Oh no, lucky's about 5. But it's stupidly hard to get the lucky title at full.
Yeah. And it's weird that it's only 2 times the lucky title, but 3 times treasure hunter.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's cool, though, the way they're introducing and they're mixing, titles. It's like, it's more of a role-playing, way to handle this, I think. You know, where you have, like, when you play D&D, you have your agility, when you're a rogue and you try to lockpick and you have your agility versus your luck, things like that.
Yeah.
It's like they're introducing that to it, so that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, in normal mode, the chests are actually easier to open with the lockpicks. But in hard mode, you have to use a lockpick.
Yeah, here you go. For normal mode chests, add 30% to the retention rate of the lockpick.
Oh, okay.
So you've got an increased chance, quite significantly increased chance of keeping it with normal mode chests. You can also use these on underworld chests and torment areas where the keys used to be 1500 gold. They've gone down now, so they're only
1250.
But your lockpicks have a chance of surviving. So if you're doing Domain of Anguish, where the chests are worth opening and the keys are only going to cost you 250 more, you've got probably a 50% chance of keeping your lockpick after using it, because you're still in normal mode there.
Yeah.
Then it's worth doing. It's worth using them. Probably not so much in the low-level areas, but...
Now, it says that the lockpicks can be purchased from a merchant. Are they higher priced in the higher-level areas? Or are all lockpicks the same price?
All lockpicks are the same price.
Oh, okay.
Exactly the same item. Purchase them from the Guildhall merchants as well.
And let's see what else. There's also... there's the... new way to get into the elite missions and factions.
Yes, and Underworld and Fisher of Woe.
And Underworld and Fisher of Woe, yes. The passage scrolls.
Yes.
That is, that's huge, because now you don't need favor. Your territory doesn't need favor of the gods to enter Underworld or Fisher of Woe.
As long as you have one of these scrolls, which only drop from bosses in hard mode. So going boss killing in hard mode is now a good thing to do.
Yes, and it could be very profitable.
Yeah.
Do you know any idea of how much these things are selling for now?
I think the elite skill books were selling for about 10k each. Oh. Some selling for more than others. Like the Ellie ones were selling for about 15 to 20, whereas the Mesmer ones were selling for about 5.
What about these passage scrolls? Have you seen anything?
I haven't seen any of those selling. Let me check.
Because I imagine they're probably selling for a lot.
I'm sure I saw one on the Guild Wars Guru price check forums earlier. I don't think anyone actually said a reasonable price. I mean, they're scrolls, so I would think that they could be sold and bought from a scroll trader. I doubt anyone will do that, but in theory, you can. 500 to 3k is what someone's recommended there.
500 gold to 3k?
Dependent on whether who you're trying to sell it to has favor at the moment.
Oh, yeah. I guess it would be pretty worthless if you already had favor.
Yeah, you won't be able to sell it for anything more than a K, because that's all it would cost to get in anyway. But
yeah,
I suppose it's good for, like, Japan, who I don't think have ever had favor.
That's true, yeah. And America during the day.
Yeah.
Because we never have favor.
No. You want to get it at like 3 o'clock in the morning there.
That's very true. Yeah, so that would actually probably be a good way to make some money.
Yeah.
Although I don't imagine they drop very often.
Don't think so. I've killed 10, 12 bosses, and I haven't had anything but gold off them. So.
Yeah. Now, to get into the Factions Elite missions, there's the Kurzik Bureaucrat and the Luxon Scavenger. And the Kurzik one, of course, is in House of Helter, and the Luxon one is in Cavalon.
Yes.
And you exchange 1,000 of your faction, Kurzik or Luxon, to get the scroll.
Yep.
And then that'll transport you to the Elite mission.
Yes.
So that's kind of cool. I guess that does away with the ferrying down to the Elite missions.
Yeah, which is good, because it was a pain. It kind of takes away some of the advantage the people holding the center towns have got.
Yeah.
Obviously it was a way they could make money if they ever wanted to charge for it. But then again, who cares?
Now, speaking of, you know, it may be easier to get into UW and FOW now, but they have done one thing that upset quite a few people, and that's pretty much nerfed the solo.
Yes.
And I know this struck quite a chord with Loudon.
Yeah, he wasn't happy about it at all.
Which I understand. I mean, I know. Well, let's explain a little bit what it's about. It's basically they've redistributed the drops so that you can't solo anymore. You can't get all the drops for yourself. You can't go in by yourself and get 100% of the drops. Now it's based on what size the party would be. Like, if you were in Old Ascalon, the party would be 4. And if you're in anywhere, basically most of the game, you know, the party would be 8. So it's going to be, you're going to get 1/8 of the drop, basically.
Yeah.
Like I said, this does away with solo farming. I don't know, I'm sure people are going to figure a way around this, you know. Like, I imagine right now, you know, you could go to an earlier area with a 4 party max, and you could solo that in hard mode.
Yeah.
And you could still get a pretty good drop rate.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean,
not as good.
Your best bet, although it's more time consuming if you're wanting to make money now, might be to try solo farm bosses in hard mode and go for the skill tomes and things.
Yeah.
Because they're selling for a reasonable amount at the moment. The only problem is you're only going to get 1 in 8 drops from the boss, and if they're only 1 in 10 drop for a skill tome, then you're like 1 in 80 of actually getting something. So.
Yeah. And they also increased the number of gemstones that you can receive from chests, but that's in the Domain of Anguish.
Yeah, the when you do Domain of Anguish on hard mode, you get double gemstones at the end.
Even though gemstones aren't worth what they used to be.
No, but they're still useful, especially if you're working towards the Tormented Weapons. They change some of the mission completion times.
Yeah.
The one that had my eyes going was Vizuna Square. The time limit changed from, I think it was either 15 or 20 minutes on normal mode. It's under 35 minutes for Masters now. And I was like, holy crap. How hard is it? Now playing water as well. 40 minutes. Used to be 20.
Oh, you know what? I thought of, I saw with that other thing I was thinking about with soloing was, it says repeated map entry no longer reduces loot.
No. It used to, because that was what they were doing to try and put off farmers.
Yeah, which is basically that farm code that everybody's talking about. Yeah. So now they've taken that away.
But it doesn't need to be in anymore, because they've dealt with it a different way.
Uh-huh.
It makes sense what they've done, to me anyway, because it rewards people who are actually playing the game, whereas, like, the reason they've done this is to try and combat all the gold sellers out there.
Mm-hmm.
By doing this, you've effectively cut the amount they can make down. Because you can't have each person in their own individual area farming gold. If you want them to get the best benefit out of it, they've all got to be in the same area. You got to have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people all in the same area. Otherwise, you don't get all the drops. You lose some. So.
Yeah. But it sounds like they put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah. It makes sense. It's a good idea. I can understand why people are annoyed, because people do enjoy solo farming. Someone on the forums was saying it's not all about the drops, and I was saying, well, if it's not all about the drops, why are you complaining? Because they haven't changed anything other than the drops. They haven't suddenly made solo farming a lot easier or a lot harder than it was before. They've just stopped it dropping quite as much stuff.
I imagine, though, that there's still going to... Someone's still going to figure out a way to do something.
I can't really see any way around this, because my first thought was, okay, what happens if you just take henchies into the explorable area and then just flag them off to one side? But you still don't get any of the drops. They've got to actually be within range when you're killing stuff.
Hmm.
So
anyway, there goes my Totemax run.
Yeah, that's it. There's no simple way around it that I can think of, so... There might be something you can do, but I can just imagine that people are going to start doing more Fisher of War runs, more Domain of Anguish runs, and spend more time, once they finish the game and finish the finished hard mode, they're going to spend more time in doing high-end objectives as opposed to solo farming. People are actually going to spend time playing in groups, because that's going to be the best way to earn money.
Yeah.
Because you can't solo farm Underworld anymore, you're going to probably find a lot more teams being picked up for Underworld, because people are still going to want to go in to try and get Ectos.
Oh man, Ecto prices are going to skyrocket.
Well, they've already gone up. They were at 8.5k or something yesterday, and they were at 12 when I was looking before. And I bet you they've gone up again.
Nice.
I don't think...
I've held on to quite a few. I think I'll be able to sell them for some good... Good chunk of change.
So let's see. Ectos right now are at... Oh, 11k. They've actually gone down slightly.
Oh.
I bet a lot of people have been selling them.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet they have.
I would imagine they're going to go up. That's it. Unless you get more groups going into Underworld. Like I said, because you've got the access scrolls now, and... In fact, especially with the access scrolls, because you could take an access scroll and take one person in, or you could take it and take 10 people in. Not 10.
Another thing they did, they've messed with titles a little bit. The Skill Hunter title is now divided into a track for each campaign.
Yeah.
So you can have Tyrion Skill Hunter, Alonian.
I woke up to being kind of a big deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Split it up.
Yeah. Because they now count as max titles, where the Skill Hunter didn't before. I went from having 3 max titles to having 7.
So now if you get all 3, you also have the Legendary Skill Hunter title.
So you get a 4th.
Yeah. And they did that with Cartographer, too. If you have all 3, you get Legendary Cartographer.
Oh, do you? I don't know. I don't have any Cartographers maxed, so...
Yeah. Yeah, if you get all 3 of them.
There's a Legendary Guardian title, where if you get... all the protected titles and all the Guardian titles, you get Legendary Guardian.
And it says here they finally made a final rank of the Sunspear track, the title track, and it's 50,000 Sunspear promotion points.
Yes.
Which I don't really see a use for.
There is coming up. Firstly, it allows you to max out your rebirth stick, so you resurrect someone with full health and full energy. Secondly. There's due to be, sometime soon, there's not been an official date for it, but a load of new skills coming in. Profession-specific skills for the Sunspear title coming in.
Looks like we covered everything. I don't imagine we have to go over the audio updates. Or...
Ooh, the Roller Beetle dude's back. You can get some Beetlejuice tonics.
Oh, yeah. Somebody asked me about that today. I didn't... know what they were talking about.
Yeah, it's from the latest tournament thing, with the rankings and the Sunlight Tournament House. Get your rewards. I picked mine up. Oh, okay. I get 3. Then again, I did just pick silly names.
So this weekend is double Lightbringer and Sunspear points.
Yeah, because I've been doing that. I've earned like 4,000 Sunspear points as well today, just clearing those 4 areas.
And there were times where I was killing mobs that weren't counting because I didn't have the right bounty on. If you do it right and you work your way around and pick up the right bounties before going and killing stuff, you could probably get even more than that. Like I said, that's just in the beginning ones. I know in the Desolation, it's on the starter island, it's 4 Lightbringer points, 4 Sunspear points per mob you kill, whereas in the Desolation, it's 8. In Torment, it's 6 Lightbringer points for each mob you kill, which is loads, because it's 2 in Domain of Anguish, normally. So, I don't know what Domain of Anguish is like in hard mode. I dread to think.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
As Mythos was doing it, he's in our guild, and he gave the last mission, the Ebony Citadel of Malix, which is the very last part of the Malix, the Unyielding quest. It's where you actually fight Malix, the big Domain of Anguish boss. He tried that in hard mode, and I think they failed it, but I'm not certain. But apparently it was pretty tough. Here's something worth knowing. The bounties in hard mode give you more points for killing a boss, dependent on, like, if you kill an insect boss, and you've got the insect bounty, you get more points for him dependent on how many other insects you've killed before him. Oh. Like, in the starter island, you get 4 points for each insect you kill, but you get 4 bonus points per insect you've killed, up to a limit of 100 bonus points when you kill an insect boss, which is quite nice. It's certainly a not insignificant amount of points, especially when you're on double points over this weekend as well, where you're getting 200 points for just killing the boss. I mean, hard mode's certainly a good way to boost the titles up, especially for, like, if you're an Elonian character and you get to Sunspear Sanctuary, you have to get up to being Sunspear General, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Before you can carry on. If you just go back to the beginning, jump in hard mode, just clear the first couple of areas. Like I say, I earned 4,000 points in no time, and it's only 7,500 to get to Sunspear Castellan, which is rank 8, so...
This is the weekend to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, did you notice any changes to the sounds? Like, I noticed...
I have my game sounds off.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I noticed a bow, it sounded different, and
they said they changed combat sounds.
Yeah, they changed some combat sounds. They sound pretty cool, though.
I don't know. I might give it a listen. I don't normally have it on, because... Yeah, I just can't be bothered. No, because I'm normally on TeamSpeak, so if I got the game sounds in the background, sometimes they're... Because I always use push-to-talk as well. Don't use push-to-talk. I always use voice-activated. Sometimes the game sounds will come through in the background, and it can be quite disconcerting.
Well, I guess that's about it. I think we covered everything. I'm sure they're going to make changes to it, and especially fix some of these bugs.
Yeah, I don't doubt they'll fix the bugs. I'm hoping that they bring these skills in. I want to see what they are, the new Sunspear skills. That'll be good. That's a good opportunity to buff up the Mesmer in PvE, because everyone always complains it's crap in PvE. It's not. It's just it's not particularly noticeable that what the Mesmer does. Giving profession-specific skills is a good way to get around it in the short term until Eye of the North comes out with it's got a load of PvE-only skills in anyway. Anyway, if we're finished, I'm going to go to bed because it's like 12:15. I'll listen and laugh at myself in the morning.
You take care.
You too, mate. I'll speak to you later.
All right, bye.
I had a point, but I forgot it.